Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for your blessing to us. We thank you for salvation. Yes. We thank you for sanctification. We thank you for a complete deliverance, dear God. And we pray that you be with us today. As we open up your word, we pray that you would anoint it, God, that you would make it what you desire to be. We pray that your spirit would take control. Lord, it would not be any of us, but Lord, it would be you speaking to us this morning that we all may receive what we need for our souls, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we had youth night, or everybody over at our house, young people and all, on Friday night, and I really enjoyed it. I hope they did. But we talked a little bit there about the dividing line. And I want to go over a little bit of what we talked about. And the Lord has given us a message that rolls on from there. And so we'll go back over a few things. We talked about the dividing line. And does anybody remember what that dividing line is? Maybe I'll put some people on the spot here. Well, the dividing line, is it the color of our hair, or whether or not we like Oreos or popcorn? That's not the dividing line we're talking about. We're talking about the dividing line in Christ. And the dividing line in Christ is faith. Sister Irene mentioned the unbelief, the verse about unbelief, and there's several verses about how unbelief separates from God. It prevents him from working. If we have faith in God, and we want to talk a little bit and be very clear about what we're saying, but if we have what faith really is, and we place that in God, then he can do whatever is necessary in our life, and that's what's required in order to follow him. Amen. All right? There's a lot of things he has to do in every one of our life. We've all got different things that the Lord needs to work on. And when we have faith, we open the door to him to do that in our lives. So the dividing line is faith. And I didn't mention on Friday night but about what faith was, but we did talk about three things about faith. To have faith in Christ, you need to have an awareness. And there's that dividing line of faith. You need to know what's on either side. You be aware that there are results on either side. There are things there. There are choices you're making when you choose what side of that line you're going to be on. Amen. Whether you're going to have faith or you're not. Whether you're going to put your faith in Christ or not. There are things on both sides of those lines, and you are choosing one or the other by whether or not you put your faith in Christ. The choice has to be made. There's no standing in the middle. There were some things we mentioned about the dividing line, and some came and stood on both sides because they kind of liked a little bit about each side, maybe. But in the Lord, we either got to have faith or not. There's no standing on both sides of this line. We have to make a choice. And then it is your choice. We talked about, when we mentioned Oreos and popcorn, and everybody made a decision. I think I like Oreos better. I think I like popcorn better. Nobody came along and said, well, you better go this way or you better go that way. They all made their individual choices. That's the option we have in Christ. And that is the responsibility we have in Christ, that we make our own individual choices. There's nobody to blame this on. If I say, well, they did this, you chose to let them make your decision. You made a decision to follow them wherever that ended up. So it's still your choice about which side of this line you stand on. And this line of faith, once again, we want to be clear about what it is. If you look at the Greek word for faith, there's four main words, and we shared this before, but I want to share it again as we move into the message. There's persuasion. To have faith, we have to be willing to allow God to persuade us. If we are determined to have our own way and not listen to what the Lord's trying to say to us, then we're not living by faith. That's just black and white. We have to be willing to let God persuade us. We have to realize that the persuasions, the way that God works on us, there's a purpose there, and we need to allow that to build convictions in our life. As God begins to persuade us about things, they need to become convictions as God shows us and comes along. And a conviction is something where now we've taken into our hands. God's come along and he's persuaded us, and we said, this is important. I'm going to hold on to this. It talks about in the word, they that keep my word, I will come unto him. That's what that's talking about. Keep means to guard, to put a hedge about something. So the conviction is my responsibility to allow that to happen in my life once the Lord has persuaded me. And so we need to have conviction. Then from the conviction comes reliance. Reliance means basically if I have a need, I know where to go. I don't have certain needs that I handle this way and certain needs that I handle this way. In all things, I rely on Christ for what he's trying to do in my life. For him to be free to do that, I have to have this where I do depend on him. That I'm not trying to be self-sufficient and hold on to something myself, but Christ is my all in all. He is my supply. And then there's a constancy. You know, when we let God build something in our life, there's something we need to have that's called constancy in that. Realize that's this is who I am wherever I go, whatever I do. This is who what I am, what I'm living for. I'm not trying to just be something. I am something by the grace of God, by the fact of what faith in him has allowed him to do in my life. This is just who I am. This isn't something I'm trying to be. You know, that's where we get in. Sometimes we get in a trouble a little bit is because, and we get unconstant because we're trying to be something. Live by faith and let the Lord make you what he wants you to be so that you can be constant in that. That's what faith yields in our life when we truly live by faith. All right. So that kind of established some things. And then I apologize I think by the time we're done today, Lord willing, by the help of the Lord, we'll see the connection between these things. But I want to turn over here to Matthew 4. Please pray for me. Need him greatly. All right. So we're going to read just a portion of this instance here where Jesus was in the wilderness and was tempted. And it says, and when the tempter, which we recognize as Satan, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So in other words, Jesus did not turn those stones into bread. Now, why? And the burden of the message today, with the help of the Lord, I'm trying to share it, but God's calling us something bigger than just living by right and wrong, than just by doctrines. What he's calling to us encapsulates that within it. It definitely, it's righteousness, but it's righteousness that exceeds us going around and having these lines we draw and these doctrines we draw to live by. It is Well, the burden of the message this morning is that we're not living up to all that God has, if that's what we are. There's something greater that encapsulates all those things and goes beyond them. It does not fail to provide them in our life. Don't misunderstand me. We'll go over that several times. But it goes beyond that. That is not what Christ came to give us. That's what they were doing before Christ came. And it wasn't working. It wasn't what God wanted out of them. All right? Christ came to give us something deeper and stronger, okay? So in not making this bread, did Christ not make the bread because it's wrong? It's a sin to make bread? Do we need to stop eating bread because it's a sin? Is that what the example here was to us? And maybe take all the bread out of our homes and never have another piece of bread in our home? Is that what was going on here? Forgive me if you feel like it was, but I don't. In fact, I feel very assured that wasn't what Christ was doing there. He was not looking at this, well, the doctrine is we should not eat bread. We're going to have a doctrine here that we should not eat bread. That wasn't what the deal was with Christ, all right? Christ had a purpose where he was. And it wasn't enough for him to say, it's okay for me to eat bread. It's fine. If you want to eat some bread, in fact, I appreciate that nobody eats in the middle of service, but honestly, that's what you're still there. You know, that's okay. Bread's okay. All right. There's not a problem with bread. And we fall short of faith sometimes. We fall short of all that God has for us because we're looking, well, is there right or wrong about it? And that's what matters to us. We just want to know, is it right or wrong? If it's okay, then why not? I'll just go ahead and do it. I mean, I know Satan said it, but there's nothing wrong with it, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. There was something bigger. There was a purpose here that mattered. There's something that matters more than just doing right and wrong. Lord, help us to be able to share that today. All right? Look back at the first verse and see what was happening here. It says in Matthew 4:1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." There was a purpose. Christ left where he was and came to this place for a reason. And it meant it was more than just doing right or wrong. Just looking at the old law and reading through it. Is it anywhere in here that says I can't eat bread? Okay, well then it should be fine. He was coming for a reason. And I want to go into what that reason was, but I feel like the Lord wants us to stay away from that and just realize there was a purpose here. You know, when the Lord comes and deals with you in life, it's something bigger than just whether or not you should be doing something. It's about making you into everything that you should be. It's about by faith, and faith, you putting your faith in Christ, him coming in and persuading you, convicting you, building reliance in you and constancy in you. Who knows what that's going to take? It's going to take more than just doing right and wrong. It's going to encapsulate that. It'll take care of that. If you live by faith in Christ, he will manifest that in you. But we're living for a deeper purpose. And that's to know our Lord and to please him, to love him, to serve him, to allow him to do all these things in us that build more than a knowledge of what's right and wrong. They build love. They build joy. They build peace. They build faith. They build all these things that God desires to manifest through us that bless our lives, that help us. You know, when I face a struggle in life and it looks, the storms are gathering around, whether I can eat bread or not doesn't help me very much. Whether or not I can go here or go there doesn't help me very much. You know what helps me? Is to know that my Savior holds me in his hands. Yes. He's working in my life. Yes. And I don't know what he's doing, but I do. I know what he's doing. He's working to make me more what he wants me to be. I don't know what all that's going to do in my life in this situation, but that's what holds me. You could hand me a whole list of doctrines, and while my life might encapsulate all those, and if they are what the Lord wants out of my life, then I know it will. It will. The Lord will build those things, sometimes with time, but it still wouldn't help me. Oh, that's just in my mind. But this in my heart, knowing that the Lord holds me. And the reality of that, not just me knowing it, but it's living in that reality of having put my faith in Christ so that he can hold me in his arms. If we just have that list and we have not put our faith in Christ, he can't hold us in his arms. That's why this fails every single time. Unless we have put our faith in Christ. And we're looking to him and depending on him and relying on him in our lives. So there was a purpose. And when the Lord came up against this temptation, he said, I wonder if he didn't say, well, you know what? There might not be anything wrong with making bread. But you know what the word also says? It says that this isn't the only thing that matters in my life. That there's something that matters more than this. Yes. All right. And I'm here because there's something that matters more. And I'm not going to be distracted from a life of faith. From a life of allowing my Father in heaven to do what he's trying to do in my life. All right? And let's look at what the results of that was. Over in Luke 4. The fourth chapter, we have this same story. And we get to the end of this. And it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions round about." He returned in the power of the Spirit. He was led somewhere for a purpose. He wasn't distracted. He didn't just worry about the rights and wrongs. He worried about doing what God had for him to do in that place. And trust in the Lord. And the results were that he came out of that place in the power of the Spirit. Do you know that's what we need in life? That's what sustains us? A list of right and wrongs can't sustain us. It's part of what we live. It's part of what's manifested through our lives. But what sustains us is the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. It's what seals us. It's what teaches us. It's what keeps us. And the pattern here that Christ was showing is that you don't get there by simply following a list of rights and wrongs. You get there by a life of faith, by trusting, by resting in the Lord, and by putting your faith in Him. And there's not another way to get there. All right? So there's something bigger than just right or wrong, although it encapsulates it and exceeds it to live for. We actually live for, by faith, we live for purpose and result in our life. In other words, the changes that Christ is trying to do that will truly manifest His righteousness, that will go deeper than this. So let's look over here in Matthew, the fifth chapter. Matthew 5 and 17. So, it says, "Think not," this is Jesus speaking, He says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets." Once again, we're not doing away with what they taught, the things they taught. That's not what He came for. He came for it to fulfill those things that can never be fulfilled by simply having them to be able to read them in our minds, decipher what we think they mean. It took something more. It took Jesus coming, and it takes this life of faith to actually manifest the righteousness that is in those things through our life. So He said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy that, the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." This word "fulfill" right here means to level up. You know, if to level up means to take something that's at a certain level and say, "You know what? We can make this better. This can go higher." And this is what Christ is saying. He's saying, "Look, I came to take this and make it something higher, make it better, level it up, another level, on another plane and all." And so this is what Christ is saying. This is the life of faith that transcends from this point to where He truly all along wanted us to be, where His righteousness could truly be manifest through our life. All right? And so, just for clarity's sake, look at what He says in the next couple of verses. He says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle," and these are little bitty marks of writing, some of the smallest marks, if not the smallest marks, that you would find on this list of the law and the prophets and everything that's been recorded there, written down. These are some of the smallest pieces of markings that you would find on that parchment or whatever it was that they had written on. All right? He says, "Till heaven or earth, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be leveled up, till all be brought to this higher level through Christ, through faith in Him in our life, where it could truly be manifested what it was supposed to be all along, what it was pointing to all along." All right? "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So He said here, for clarity's sake, we're not doing away with this. All right? But He said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord wasn't even leaving an option to stand over here and look at this and just trying to do it in ourselves. It's going to have to be leveled up in your life. It's going to have to take a faith that is put in Christ to trust Him. You could wear yourself out all day long just trying to do this. And until you truly put your faith in Christ, put your life in His hands, it can never be what it's supposed to be. Amen. And we can't make it. We won't make it to heaven is what He just said.
Right.
It has to exceed what they have. All right? All right. So, over in Romans, I want to turn to the 10th chapter. And Paul is following up with this thought where Jesus kind of pointed at the Pharisees. They were very strict. If anybody followed everything, I think we talked about this some, but just to make sure we understand of the different, of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, everyone, if anybody followed it to the letter, the Pharisees were one who pushed that, all right? And so he's saying there's something higher. It has to be leveled up. So the Romans, the 10th chapter. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What do you mean? They've got all the knowledge in the world. No, not the knowledge that matters. They've got, yes, they've got the zeal, they've got all of this, but they stopped at the very thing that can transform it to what it needs to be in our lives. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, which if we were to study it all out, the righteousness which is by faith, all right, which is the righteousness that God is looking for in our lives, and they being ignorant of that, coming to that point and not taking that in, they remain over here in the fullness of everything they can possibly do in this area before the dividing line of faith. All right. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There is an element in this dividing line that finally puts us under subjection to God the way we're supposed to be. And without it, we're not submitted to God the way we need to be. It takes faith. And the part of faith that people struggle with, maybe the most, is the submission to God. The submission to what He wants in my life. The submission to trust Him for what He's doing. The submission to His will in my life. These are all things that faith enacts in us. But a struggle against these things pulls us back from faith in our life. This is the dividing line. A willingness to just let God take over in our life. For whatever reason it might be. And so, it says, they've gone about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe it. Not the doing away of that. But over here, we're taking the law and we're trying to establish our own righteousness. And then we find Christ by faith and we go, that wasn't ever going to work. There has to be, I found something more. I found something that takes care of it, that works in my life, where God can really say, well, this is the way that's supposed to be done. You know, you tried to do it all so many ways over here, and it just fell short every single time. Now, by faith, as a child, realizing that though you have all this knowledge, it takes the Lord saying, here's how, you know, that simplest little law over there, that one that you try and try maybe to fulfill, and things just seem to fail every time in your life. Well, this is one of the reasons, because this is how it's really supposed to be manifested in your life. Because we're over here now by faith, and the Lord can teach us, like, all of us need to be taught as a little child how to apply His word to our life. We can't do it until we come to that place in Him. It says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Now, something here I want, before we go any further, I need to say. When he's talking about the man shall live by them, this is what he has his hands on. This is what he has available to him. There's nothing more. You're going to live by the law? Well, take it up in your hands and do your best, because that's all you got. And it's never going to be enough. All right? But here's something that is enough. All right? It says, Moses, but the righteousness which of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. There's something more. I need to grab him and pull him down here somehow. All right? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. Let's pull him back up here somehow. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. By faith, I no longer am trying to pull something and pull myself along by it. But by faith, I have Christ dwelling right here with me. Day by day, holding on to me. All that time trying to hang on just for dear life over here and trying to make things happen. Now I have something that holds on to me. Christ himself, the very essence of all that. Now inside, dwelling in me, holding on to me. I can believe in this. I can, because it's reality. This is the reality of faith. But I can also trust in it. It's real, y'all. When the Lord says he'll show you what you need to know, he will. If you rest in him, if you believe in him, if you listen to him, he'll show you everything you need to know. Stop trying to take in all of this and somehow hang on to this. Just hang on to Christ. Live by faith. And listen to him. Remember what faith is. It's not, there's Christ. That's not faith. We read what faith was. Letting him persuade you. Building convictions. Relying on him. And being constant that this is just who I am. I am Christ. I'm no longer mine. I'm the Lord's now. And just rest in him.
Yes.
And if you do that, if you dwell with him and you live by faith following him, then he's going to show you everything you need to know. And if you're willing just to keep walking with him by faith, that means, okay, yes, Lord, well, help me, Lord. I'm not going to be able to carry this thing along with me. If you're showing me I can't, then I've got to let go of it. Lord, help me.
Amen.
Then the Lord will do everything that's needful in our life.
Yes.
To help us to make it, to be. And for his holiness, that big word that we struggle with so much, suddenly it's being manifested in our life by simply trusting and resting in Christ and listening to him, letting him mold our heart, letting him break our heart, build our heart, do all those things that are necessary inside of us to truly be what he wants us to be. And there's really no other way to do it. All right? But what say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith by which we preach. All right? I want to turn over into Isaiah 30 and finish up there. All right, Isaiah 30 and the 18th verse said, therefore, now, okay, it's important to remember, and I know we do, but let's just let our minds go back to the fact that we're now reading in the Old Testament prophecies about a day to come. All right? And so take that in. It says, therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious. What all is the Lord waiting on? And this time, right here. Well, ultimately, he's waiting on Christ. But what is that meaning? Oh, there's so much the Lord could have done and said, it's just over. Forget it. Forget it all. But the Lord's going to wait. Because there's a day coming. He's going to wait that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted. He's waiting to be gracious through Christ to us. And the result of that to those who would take that in by faith is that the Lord will be exalted. We want the Lord exalted. Live by faith. Live by what it really means. He'll be exalted in your life. That he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait on him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You know, the Lord brought them all into this land of Canaan, and he meant for it to be cleared out of everything that was not like him, and for there to be a city where it indwelled righteousness and holiness. And he was partly showing it couldn't be done without Christ. But that was the purpose of Zion. That's what Zion always was meant to be. All right? And it's what it is spiritually in our lives now today. And it says, for people will dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem. And the results of that, all the Lord wanted to save us, but you know, there's a wiping away. I know when we get to heaven, there's a wiping away of tears basically forevermore. But in Christ, there's a wiping of our tears in Christ. And so he says, they shall weep no more. He shall be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. This is what he was waiting on, this place where he could hear us. It says, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, oh, this is what he wanted. He didn't want it to be over there where, because we were so trying to hang on, never could. There was constantly problems. He went over here where if he saw a need for something, he could do it in our life. But it's because there's a purpose, not because we were failing of what we were supposed to be all the time. All right? Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Who can reach into you? If you live by faith, who can reach into you and remove the Holy Spirit from your life? Nobody has that power. And now there's a power to keep you through faith in Christ, where your teacher is ever with you, is ever present to help you, to help us to understand not just what that means, the doctrines and all, but what's going on in our life. To be able to see whatever it is we need to be able to see in order. We won't see it all. I don't think God ever shows us everything, but he shows us what we need to see. That's what a teacher is. He doesn't come up and just dump everything on us in one day, but he shows us what we need to know in order to move on. All right? And so it says, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You know, he gave you the right not to be paralyzed anymore. Not knowing what to do. You're going to have this confidence that he's there guiding you. And if some way you've moved on in the direction you feel like you're supposed to go, and it's not quite the right direction, that the Lord will say, this way. Let's alter this course just a little bit. That he's all around us. And one place it talks about being our reward. He talks about him going before and behind us. All right? On all sides of us. You know, if you truly put your faith in Christ, you can't help but make it. It just takes putting your faith in Christ and not removing it from him. If that's the kind of life you're living, then he can be all around you, doing whatever needs to be done to guide you, to correct you, to make you aware, to do whatever is needed in your life. We simply have to learn to put our faith in him and keep it there and listen to him and allow him to guide us and direct us. You pray for me.